claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go.
When they go.
We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by night. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where before I bring in my special guest, at the bottom of the hour, I want to cover some of the most recent developments we have here. We have, in particular, AOC, really, there's a nice expression for it, shitting bricks over the fact that James Carville has suggested that it was the wokeness that has destroyed him. Here she's attacking Carville, where she herself is one of the best examples of what he's talking about. She said that the problem is the Virginia Democrats weren't far left enough. She tweeted, like the average audience for people seriously using the word woke in a 2021 political discussion, are James Carville and Fox News pundits. That should tell you all you need to know. How shallow, how mediocre, how meaningless is this? Here's a tweet. How can news outlets even attribute words to me I didn't say? There are limits to trying to mobilize a campaign with 100% moderate strategy without mobilizing the base. Said nothing about wokeness, a term used almost exclusively by older people these days. But Carville had it exactly right. In his Wednesday PBS interview, he had observed wokeness was to blame. What went wrong is just stupid wokeness. Don't look at Virginia and New Jersey. Look at Long Island. Look at Buffalo. Look at Minneapolis. Even look at Seattle, Washington. I mean, this defund the police lunacy, this take Abraham Lincoln's name off of schools, I mean, people see that. It's just really, it has a suppressive effect all across the country on Democrats. Some of these people need to go to a woke detox center or something. For her part, AOC argued her words were taken out of context. This is just ridiculous on her part. And to suggest this is a function of, older people or not being sufficiently far left is idiotic in the extreme. Here we have a New York Times editorial board to Democrats. Move to center or keep losing. A New York Times editorial board wrote about the Democrats' road to disaster, outlining what Americans predicted about progressive woke agendas like Joe Biden's current push. The article says the Virginia elections are a grave marker of political peril. It's been coming since Biden's first day in office. The path he's constructed has disastrous effects in a political arena, and they can't ignore the fact that he's not popular. It's expected that the loser of the Virginia governor's race, Terry McAuliffe, would pull in everyone he could. McAuliffe brought in Biden, former President Obama, many other unpopular Democrats to help campaign for him, and it did not turn out well. That's partly a representation of the Democrats who showed up and gave speeches and what their popularity means for their future in politics and their public perception. The paper said, what would do justice and what is badly needed is an honest conversation in the Democratic Party about how to return to the moderate policies and values that fueled the blue wave victories in 2018 and won Biden the presidency in 2020. The problem is they weren't moderate then. They didn't have the capability of holding a majority in the House, the Senate, and the presidency. Americans badly need a rolling conversation today and in the coming weeks and months about how moderate voters of all affiliations can coalesce behind and guide the only party right now that shows an interest in governing and preserving democratic norms. This is enough to make you want to vomit. That would be believable, the commentator says, if the Democrats hadn't pushed out Tulsi Gabbard during the 2020 primary. She destroyed Kamala Harris multiple times on the debate stage and then was booted. It's partly the Democratic Party, but a lot of the blame goes to the Democrat voters, the ones keeping Bernie Sanders and AOC in office. You can blame the party, but still have a conversation with voters. The paper went on to talk about sensible solutions for the economy, school, inflation, transportation, many other topics. It could be a moderate and Bush unification. Still, Biden's administration isn't doing that. They're throwing out every socialist agenda they have to see what sticks and what doesn't. Government control over Americans' lives should be kept at bay. And let me see here. Are we okay? Very good.
This is Joel Hirshhorn on the line.
Yeah, that's good, Joel. Hang on. I'll do to the first 30. I cover the news, and I'll bring you in, my friend. Very glad to have you here. Very glad. So stand by.
Good. Okay.
So the New York Times continues about sensible solutions for the economy, school, inflation, transportation. Still, Biden's administration isn't doing that. They're throwing out every socialist agenda they have to see what sticks and what doesn't. Government control over Americans' lives should be kept at bay. The Democrats at the moment, however, are considering that. If there's anything the COVID-19 pandemic showed us, it's that local politics matter more than federal. There was a considerable pushback on federal mandates that went very well for Florida and Texas. The federal government couldn't do anything because the Constitution gives states the right to choose what happens in their state. The main statement in the paper says, Biden did not win the Democrat primary because he promised a progressive solution. He captured the nomination because he promised an exhausted nation a return to sanity, decency, and competence. But in fact, he didn't actually win the election. Sydney gave us an electoral map, which was really red from coast to coast, where Trump won 410 votes. He even carried California and many Minnesota, as I was predicting. Biden only 128. Washington, Oregon, Illinois, New York, and a few others. So the situation we're in is truly anomalous because you have a party in office that was not legitimately elected, seeking to govern from an extreme left-wing position. We even have Morning Joe Scarborough, who is very strongly left, blaming the Democrat loss on wokeism, contradicting AOC and in agreement with James Carville. In what many view as a litmus test for the first major election since Trump left office, Republican Youngkin defeated Democrat McAuliffe in Virginia's gubernatorial race. This has left the liberal pundits and analysts trying to answer the question, why? NBC, MSNBC's Morning Joe host, George Scarborough, thinks he has the answer. It's a progressive wing of the party and their message of wokeism, about which I have no doubt. Meanwhile, one of the big issues of the woke that took center stage was critical race theory. In late September, during a debate between the candidates, McAuliffe uttered the line, "I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach." It was all downhill from there. Meanwhile, Don Lemon said he disagreed with James Carville's assessment that it was due to stupid wokeness. However, even Lemon said he agreed that the Democrats' use of defund the police was unproductive. Look, I have a lot of respect for James Carville, and I understand the sentiment of what he's saying. I don't necessarily agree with all of it, he said. Defund the police, I agree more than 100% with him. Defund the police with a stupid slogan should never have been brought under the political spotlight into the political realm. It was an activist term, he added. But as far as being woke and wanting equality for people who are in underserved communities or for minorities or for women, I don't necessarily agree with that, as though James Carville were implying any such thing. This is earlier in the week, Carville had blamed the weak performance on stupid wokeness, as we know now. And I think Carville has it 100% correct. And that, you know, those who are putting up a fight have lost the battle here. And what we got from Kamala that was spot on was her explaining before the election that Virginia would be a bellwether and it would be telling for what we should expect in 2022 and in 2024. Now, reader-supported news, RSN, has also weighed in here that the Hillary playbook does not work. And bear in mind, RSN is another left-wing outlet. I mean, they are 100% for the Democrats. What do they say? Virginia Democrats united behind an unpopular Democrat who spent years in public life, ran on not being Trump, while failing to offer voters a compelling alternative vision. That strategy didn't work in 2016 when the candidate was Hillary Clinton. There was no way it was going to work now. While it's arguably true that GOP remains a party of Trump and that a reactionary lurks behind Youngkin's polite facade, reality does not necessarily dictate voter behavior. Moreover, in fact, it was Henry Kissinger who said the facts don't matter. All that matter is perceptions. McAuliffe didn't actually have to try to convince anyone that Youngkin is a reactionary at all. He just had to explain what he, in contrast to Youngkin, would offer to voters. And since he's already served one term as governor, this shouldn't have been difficult to accomplish. Yet it was beyond him. Instead of running a version of Clinton's failed 2016 campaign, McAuliffe should have borrowed from Joe Biden, who in 2020 ran to Hillary's left, and emphasize economic issues on the campaign trail. Even then, the fact that Trump was a sitting president helped carry Biden to a narrow victory. McAuliffe didn't have that advantage. His margins were always going to be narrower than Biden's, with significantly less room for error. That McAuliffe didn't have the political skill to navigate such turbulent water in a state he's already served as governor reflects upon him and his enablers, not the left, not even Biden. Meanwhile, report we're getting just today, Democrats facing tough slog in 2022 governor's races. Republicans are increasingly optimistic about flipping governor's offices in key battleground states next year. This was a front page article in the Wisconsin State Journal this morning. Let me give you a part of what it has to say. Republicans are increasingly optimistic about flipping governor's offices in key battleground states next year, buoyed by President Biden's sagging approval ratings. Democrat infighting in Congress and better than expected results in elections in Virginia and New Jersey, where the Democrats are still trying to steal it in New Jersey. Biden's approval is pulling down Democrats everywhere, said Charles Franklin, pollster at Marquette Law School, which released a survey this week showing Wisconsin Governor Evers' approval rating had slid even more. There's no question national forces are playing a big role. Democrat incumbents are going to be playing defense in much-watched Michigan and Wisconsin, trying to hold an open seat in Pennsylvania. These three governorships are seen as the Democrats' best chances to slow the GOP ascendancy in the Rust Belt. The GOP currently holds a governor's office in 27 states, compared with the Democrats' 23. 36 are up next year nationwide. Those races are poised to become expensive and intense contests as voters and political parties have increasingly relied on state leaders to advance or block consequential policy. Evers and Governors Whitmer and Wolf of Pennsylvania have emerged as major national figures, credited with stymieing Republican-controlled legislature efforts to add restrictions on voting and to curb precautions during the coronavirus pandemic. Mind you, when they talk about restrictions on voting, they're actually trying to improve integrity in voting, where the Democrats reaped a bonanza because of the COVID mail-in voting, which even third world states don't allow because they recognize its promise for corruption. It's just massive. Republican strategists say Wisconsin and Michigan are among their best pickup chances next year, along with Kansas, where Democrat Governor Laura Kelly narrowly won a three-way race. Recall, that's how Jesse Ventura became governor in Minnesota. He only had a plurality, a greater vote than the other two candidates, and that happened here in Kansas as well. GOP candidates across the country will likely seek to energize conservative parents by denouncing critical race theory, which is described here rather absurdly as an academic framework about systemic racism in America, where I deny there is any systemic racism in America. For God's sake, look at we not only elected a black president twice, we have many black representatives in the House. We celebrate black entertainers, black actors. Advertising is dominated by black figures. I mean, it's ridiculous to claim the United States is a racist society. This has clearly been from the beginning a gambit to attempt to resurrect tensions that were long since resolved by removing statues that were part of the resolution of the Civil War to show respect for the leaders of both sides. One of the reasons why we have statues to Stonewall Jackson and to Robert E. Lee, for example. But taking down these statues is part and parcel of cultural Marxism, which the Democrats have bought into. So I view what's going on here in these elections as a repudiation as well of cultural Marxism, which is seeking to destroy the country, and where it's unsurprising Biden would be so massively unpopular. We're getting feedback, Joel. Why don't you just mute? Mute. I'll bring you in at the break. Just mute. Meanwhile, okay. OSHA is giving workers until January 4th to comply with Biden's COVID vaccine mandate. He's warning of a planned inspection, surprise inspections, and fines of up to $136,532 to enforce the coronavirus. But we have breaking news of a federal appellate court has halted Biden's medicine mandate. Hang on a sec. One sec here. God, everything breaking at the same time. Here we have a very significant development. A U.S. federal appellate court has halted Biden's vaccine mandate. Saturday, this happened. A U.S. Federal Court of Appeals issued a temporary halt to Biden's unconstitutional COVID mandate on private employers. A three-judge panel at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals granted the stay, sought by multiple states. The court cited grave statutory and constitutional issues with Biden's mandate, where the administration has until 5 p.m. on the 8th to respond to the ruling. That would be today. While it's a major blow to medical tyranny, the battle to defeat these destructive mandates continues. Emergency hearings will take place soon, and the Biden administration must prepare for future long suits. There's a lot of rejoicing over this. It's a completely appropriate move, where two experts on OSHA from Michigan have reported the following, which I think nails it. In reality, this standard, the mandate, was promulgated illegally. The President of the United States does not have statutory authority to demand a regulatory agency create a new standard. In addition, OSHA does not have jurisdiction over vaccines. This belongs to the regulatory agencies of HHS, that's Health and Human Services, and the FDA. OSHA regulates workplace health and safety like slips, trips, falls, machine guarding, protection from airborne hazards, dust, fumes, chemicals, vapors. They do not have the authority to mandate that employees inject anything into their bodies to control hazards, as vaccines are not a control measure for a hazard. OSHA cannot legally view unvaccinated workers as a hazard. In order for OSHA to cite any organization for violation of their health and safety standards, they must cite a standard that's been violated. To date, there's been no COVID standard created. Therefore, any penalties, citations, or administrative admonishment would be null and void. Any organization that's received OSHA fines over the past year should demand a full refund of those fines, including damages, and that your company record be expunged from the citation. There is so much wrong with all of this, we cannot be afraid to stand up against it, exposing it for what it is. The cracks are beginning to show and the dominoes are beginning to fall. I agree with that completely. Meanwhile, right here in Wisconsin, the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse continues in Kenosha, where I'm very pleased to say that the county circuit judge, Bruce Schroeder, has been doing an excellent job of managing this. He paused during the trial to explain to the prosecution why the evidence that they presented Wednesday turned out to have been irrelevant, where Stephen Crowder pinpointed the critical moment when the judge shut down the prosecution's attempt to present the jury with biased video footage from the Kenosha riots. So what prompted the judge to remove the jury and smack down the prosecutor? Prosecutor, I understand the objection. The problem is how portions of the video have nothing to do with the defendant but describe the scene, and I'm trying to give the jury a sense of the scene. Judge, that is hearsay. Prosecutor, I'm not introducing anyone's statements for the truth of the matter asserted. I'm introducing it for the state of mind of the defendant as he watches a scene. Judge, if it's not for the truth of the matter asserted, then it is irrelevant. He explained he'd admitted the prosecution video based on a two-part rule. The first part requires evidence to prove the defendant was aware of the decedent's violent acts or turbulent behavior. The other, circumstantial of the decedent's violent behavior at the time of the incident. Where the judge is doing a simply excellent case. We've been reporting on this. I've been following it closely. It's very obvious Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense. And I've got to tell you, as a former Marine Corps officer, where I was at one point supervising 15 DIs and 300 recruits going through the training cycle, I don't know of Marines who could have handled the situation as well as he did. He was being pursued by thugs who were seeking to do him bodily harm. One kicked him in the face. Another sought to break his neck with a skateboard. A third was prepared to shoot him. Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense, and it looks as though we're going to have a properly conducted trial in Kenosha, very unlike the trial to which I was subjected in my Sandy Hook lawsuit right here in Madison. Meanwhile, we have this rather bizarre event at Astral World. Authorities begin identifying the eight people killed Friday night in a stampede at Travis Scott's Astroworld, including a 14-year-old angel and a man who died trying to save a relative in the mayhem. John Higgert, a ninth grader at Memorial High School in Greater Houston, an aspiring basketball player, was the youngest victim of the tragedy. Now, I see photographs of a lot of emergency vehicles there, but frankly, I'm not convinced. My colleague, Scott Bennett, who's an Army Intel and PSYOPs officer, has been predicting that there was going to be a false flag, which now appears to be what was transpiring here in Houston, Texas. In fact, a colleague of his wrote him and said, well, Lieutenant Scott, you got your false flag over the weekend with a Travis Scott concert at Astroworld in Houston, Texas. The reasons for doing this as a massive distraction: to bury the $1.2 trillion social infrastructure bill, the 13 rhinos who signed it, the Democrat disaster in the elections last week, Biden's plan to reward illegal aliens with up to $450,000 each, Durham's fourth arrest with respect to the Steele dossier, Russiagate, Biden's daughter's diary, thank you, FBI, that's unnerving all by itself, Biden and Burisma oil scam to be exposed soon, COVID clot shots, vaccine mandates blowing up. It's amazing how many different reasons they would have had for staging this event. I'm with Scott. I'm not convinced it's real. It looks to me a very appropriately timed false flag. We'll have more to report upon this. But as you know, I've been doing massive reporting on all of these, and Amazon has been doing its best to ban my books, not only on Sandy Hook, but on Boston, Charlottesville, Parkland, Orlando, Dallas, even the moon landing. After the break, I'll bring in my special guest, Joel Hirshhorn. We'll be talking about the vaccine mandate and the like. There's a huge number of developments here, and I look forward to featuring him right after the break. So stand by. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my special guest today, Joel Hirshhorn, we actually go back a good ways, but he wrote me recently about an article published on my blog, which is temporarily out of service because of a copyright claim from Leonard Posner, of course, which I'm sure is not legitimate, but that's a long story, which I only learned about after they'd shut down the blog. So those of you who've been seeking to go to jamesfetzer.org, please know that's the reason we're working to get it back up. But what Joel was writing to me concerned an article that 100% of the COVID-19 vaccine deaths were being caused by only 5% of the batches, and that the benign vaccines were being distributed to very specific locations. Maybe Joel knows exactly who's getting the good stuff, but the 5% were being distributed very widely across the country. Joel cited a good number of articles here, including from Principia Scientific, very good stuff. So I wanted to bring Joel onto the show. Welcome, Joel, to the Raw Deal.
Thank you. Glad to be with you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, go ahead and lay us on. Tell us what alarmed you about this, and I what you've been able to sort out about what's going on here.
Okay, there's a lot to enlighten people with. First off, I wrote a book that people should read. It's called Pandemic Blunder, and the book really tells the whole story of how Fauci, in particular, screwed the world. Basically, has killed millions of people. Because in March of 2020, this is early in the pandemic, we had data coming in from doctors, clinical work, that they were saving patients all the time, actually, by using cheap generic medicines like hydroxychloroquine and later ivermectin. These are doctors, Dr. Zelenka, who wrote the foreword for my book, and then George Farid and his colleagues in California. They each have saved about 6,000 people's lives by giving them what we call early treatment protocols. These are drugs, generic drugs, particularly ivermectin now, that you can take also to prevent getting COVID. I want to emphasize that. So a big point about vaccines, and I could talk for hours, is that pretty much nobody under the age of 70, with a few exceptions, should be vaccinated. Because you have to look at it in terms of risk and benefit. There are no significant risks under the age of 70 from getting COVID infection unless you have some serious underlying medical problems, which it does include morbid obesity. But pretty much this is a disease that hits hard to people over age 70. And even over age 70, if we were giving people ivermectin and these protocols that we know works, their lives would be saved too, even without vaccination. The whole vaccine thing is a scam, basically. It was devised to make trillions of dollars for drug companies. So the vaccines are not effective. The vaccines being used today lose their effectiveness after about 6 months, which is why we see what we call breakthrough infections. There are so many people fully vaccinated in the U.S. and everywhere else who are now coming down with new COVID infection, fully vaccinated, mind you, breakthrough infections. And if you listen to CDC and our lying government agencies, they'll make it sound like, well, breakthrough infections, don't worry about it. I can tell you that I have data that has not been widely published. In fact, the website was taken down. This is a study done by our Defense Department, mind you, not NIH, not CDC, not FDA. The Defense Department does a tremendously great study with fascinating data, which is why the website was pulled down. But I have the data, and I want to tell you what the Defense Department found out about fully vaccinated people in Medicare. These are all people 65 and older, fully vaccinated, and they get infected with COVID, okay, despite being fully vaccinated. So how many breakthrough cases were there in this sample? This is a sample of about 10% of Medicare patients, okay, just 10%. There was 161,000 cases, breakthrough cases, 161,000, okay? How many had to go to the hospital with breakthrough infections? 33,000. And the biggest kicker of all, well, not also over 10,000, by the way, in terms of ICU admissions. But the bottom line for me is I always look at death statistics. And these are, again, fully vaccinated, over 65 years old. How many people died? I get a big kick out of the fact that we all remember 9/11, and we made, of course, a big deal about 3,000 people dying. And now how many people died in this small sample of Medicare people, fully vaccinated? 3,381. Over 3,300 people died in this small sample, fully vaccinated. They died from COVID infection, okay? So we know these vaccines don't work. But the other big kicker here, not only don't they work, they are unsafe. Unsafe. I put out a lot of articles, a few articles a month on lots of websites. And I can tell you that the best studies and analyses I have seen shows in the United States, at least, and this is minimum, at least 150,000 Americans have died from the vaccines themselves. People are dying left and right every day, everywhere you look, all age groups. And I wrote a whole article on just the blood problems caused by vaccines. And these vaccines cause blood clotting, and people are dying from brain bleeds, from strokes. Young people are dying also from blood problems. A great Canadian doctor gives 900 doses of the Moderna vaccine. He does a simple blood test that very few doctors do. It's called the D-dimer test. And what did he find out? He found out that 62% of his patients, their bodies were filled with blood clots. Filled with blood clots. If you get blood clots, you're in serious problem. And these are microscopic blood clots that won't even show up on regular kinds of scans. So we know that these vaccines are killing people. We know that they don't work after 6 months. They certainly don't work against the Delta variant. And I published an article just the other week. How many people have died in the United States because of this pandemic? Don't believe any government figures. What I say in my article is nearly 2 million people have died in the United States. Now, how do you get to 2 million? Well, I can tell you, about half of that number, close to 1 million people have died because of what we call collateral deaths. These are all the people who died because of the shutdowns, the lockdowns, the stay-at-home requirements. These are people who never got normal medical care and treatment, surgeries during the pandemic, people who got mentally stressed out, and we have great data now showing a huge percent of the population suffering from depression because of this pandemic. We have high suicide rates. We have high use of opioids and other addictive problems. So close to a million people are collateral deaths, okay? CDC, the government, doesn't even count these deaths. But then there's the other million, and the other million is, right now, officially, CDC says over 730,000. Sometimes I see 750,000. These are COVID-related. I want to use that word, related deaths, okay? It turns out that CDC admitted at one point that only 6% of COVID deaths, okay, that they're counting, only 6% have only COVID infection. The only reason they're dying is because of COVID infection. So other than that 6%, all these other people that are being counted as COVID-related deaths, well, they may have some evidence of COVID in their body, but they're dying because of other serious medical conditions. And they're not dying, you know, from COVID. They're dying with COVID in their bodies. So you can't believe hardly anything. And by the way, those numbers I gave you from the Defense Department study where over 3,300 people died, they were following one interesting CDC requirement on how to collect data. And that is, they don't count any of the people who died within 12 days of being vaccinated. Very interesting, because it turns out that all the studies I've seen, a huge amount of the people coming down with blood problems and strokes and paralysis and neurological problems and dying, a huge percent, 30, 50% of these problems from the vaccines are happening within the first 12 days. And CDC is saying, well, we're not counting any of those problems, adverse effects or deaths that happen within the first 12 days. It's crazy stuff. And I'll tell you something else, Jim. They just changed the definition of vaccine on September 1st. CDC changes the definition of vaccine. So when you read the new definition, it hardly makes any sense at all. It's like, that's why people have been correct in saying all these new vaccines for COVID, they're not really vaccines. I've been saying this for many, many months. The reason that they're not normal kinds of vaccines, you get a COVID shot. That shot, the mRNA type shot that puts these spike proteins in your body, it does not kill the virus. It's interesting. These so-called vaccines, which are experimental, but they're not even real vaccines, they do not kill the COVID infection in your body, which means that you get infected all the time with COVID. The virus gets into your body, even though you're fully vaccinated, and you spread the virus. Vaccinated people spread the virus just as much as unvaccinated people might spread the virus, okay? So these vaccines do not stop transmission of virus. They do not kill the virus. They screw up your body, though. The spike proteins, again, are causing blood problems, neurological problems. Who knows? We don't even know the long-term effects of these vaccines because they were not studied for a sufficiently long period of time. So, yes, and I'm reading every day, you know, pregnant women are losing their babies because they got the shots. Young athletic people, people in the armed services get the shot. They get paralyzed. They get neurological problems. Some of them die. So the vaccine story is, I've been looking at medical issues for over 50 years in my professional life. I have never seen such a huge scam, such a huge travesty as how we are managing the pandemic. And we know how to fix this. You know, we know we have these solutions that can cure and prevent COVID, again, using cheap generic medicines. Ivermectin has been around for decades. So is hydroxychloroquine. They're safe to use. And millions of people are using particularly ivermectin. If you can get a prescription from a doctor, most of them won't give you a prescription. But if you got a prescription from a doctor for ivermectin, most drugstores won't fill it. And even if they were willing to fill it, they don't have ivermectin because there's a national shortage of ivermectin. So how do people get ivermectin? Well, you can get it. There are plenty of doctors who will prescribe it. There are websites you can go to get prescriptions. And you can get plenty of ivermectin. I have about 1,000 tablets myself. I order them from India. India is where most ivermectin in the world is manufactured. And here's a fascinating fact. The largest states in India, they have a state system like we do, have basically eliminated the pandemic. How did they do it? The biggest state officially has said 240 million people live in the biggest state in India. No more pandemic there. How did they do it? They gave out ivermectin freely to the population. Same thing in a bunch of other India states. Same thing has been going on in Indonesia. Wide free use of ivermectin. Around the world, unlike the US and Europe, you can get ivermectin over the counter. And many places have been giving it out. It is a kind of miracle drug, both to, again, treat and to prevent getting COVID infection seriously. But you got to use, if you get some infection, you got to use hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin within about the first week of the infection. You got to kill the infection in its first stage. It's called replication. It's where the virus, if it gets into your body, and if you don't have strong immunity, then, you know, you need to take something. But taking hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, zinc, and some other vitamins and supplements can stop the replication in that first phase within a few days. That's how all these doctors, the great doctors that I like, Fareed in California, has already treated and cured 6,000 people. Same thing with Zelenko in New York, 6,000 people easily. So we know medically how to deal with this. And I have a new article out, what Congress needs to do. It needs to use what we call personalized medicine as the basis for running the pandemic. And you see, mandates don't make any sense. They're evil. Vaccine mandates for this pandemic are evil. Most people don't need the vaccines. A lot of people, if they get the vaccine, are going to suffer serious medical problems or die. So from the very beginning, we had some great doctors. Dr. McCullough in Texas is perhaps one of the greatest doctors. And he said at the very beginning, early 2020, the only way to, you know, develop a vaccine strategy was to realize that a small percent of the public might need a vaccine. You certainly would never think from a medical perspective of vaccinating the whole population with these new artificial fake vaccines. It's crazy stuff. And the last thing I want to talk about is natural immunity. We have over 100 million people, way over probably, in the United States who did get some COVID infection, never had any serious health effects, okay? Maybe like a bad cold or like a flu. They didn't get seriously ill. They didn't go to a hospital. They may not even have gotten any kind of treatment, but they did get some COVID infection. What is the benefit for them? They now have what we call natural immunity. Natural immunity, your body develops natural defenses once you've been affected, okay? And that natural immunity turns out to be better, more effective, and longer lasting than any kind of immunity that they claim for these vaccines. It's amazing. They did work on a large part of the population in Israel, and they have clinical data that showed that natural immunity for people that were once infected was 27 times better than the vaccine immunity. So there's a whole lot of truth to reveal about the mismanagement of this pandemic. I blame Fauci for doing everything Fauci has done has been wrong, medically wrong, I want to emphasize, medically wrong. Everything he has done has been to help the big drug companies make trillions of dollars. So that's what's going on from my perspective.
Well, Joel, I think you got it exactly right. In fact, we have a brand new article from Stanford and Harvard physicians making just that point. Let me share it with you from a political insider. Harvard and Stanford doctors claim Fauci fooled America. On Monday, yep. Two university doctors penned an op-ed that explores how Fauci fooled America, claiming the top COVID doctor got it wrong on everything from natural immunity to masks during the pandemic. The column appeared in Newsweek, and Joel, I find that striking because Newsweek is a mainstream, you know, publication, authored by Martin Kulldorff, who's an epidemiologist himself, biostatistician and professor of medicine at Harvard, and Jay Bhattacharya, MD and PhD, a professor of health policy at Stanford. Unfortunately, Dr. Fauci got major epidemiology and public health questions wrong. Reality and scientific studies have now caught up with him. The doctors say it was understandable why so many leaders and Americans would listen to Fauci when the pandemic began, but now say the evidence of what's unfolded runs counter to his advice. When the pandemic hit, they write, America needed someone to turn to for advice. The media and public naturally looked at Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, an esteemed laboratory immunologist and one of President Trump's chosen COVID advisors. Unfortunately, he got major epidemiology and public health questions wrong. Reality and scientific studies have now caught up with him. I think you've got it exactly right, Joel, and I've been doing a huge amount of reporting. I didn't hear a single word you said with which I could take exception. I think you were right on top of it. And it's wonderful to have an independent investigator arriving at exactly the same conclusions, which, of course, is what you expect from objective scientific inquiry, which you've obviously been pursuing, as have I.
Yes, I can tell you that my book, Pandemic Blunder, and I wrote this book, you know, 8 or 9 months ago, has the whole story of how Fauci screwed it up. I was the first one to put out a book that detailed exactly how Fauci, the kind of decisions he made, and more importantly, not just the decisions that he made. I want to emphasize, Jim, that he took specific action at NIH, and he runs FDA and CDC also, basically. He took specific actions that blocked the wide use of these generic medicines, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. That guidance, those regulations that he put into effect, still exist. So 90% plus of American doctors will not prescribe hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Hospitals, by the way, will not let their patients get hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. If relatives bring ivermectin into the hospital and try to give it to their very sick, you know, relatives, the hospitals will stop it. Lawsuits have been brought against hospitals. I think nearly all have failed. So I want to emphasize, it's just not in a sense what Fauci did. It's how he blocked the use of what we know works to treat and prevent COVID. These cheap generic medicines. I bought my ivermectin, and you got this is really important. Anyone can get ivermectin from India. It's not hard to get. What you'll pay is about 30 or 40 cents a pill, a 12 milligram pill for ivermectin. If indeed you get a prescription in the United States, find the doctor who will give it to you, find the pharmacy that might have some. My wife went through this. She paid nearly $5 a pill, 3 milligrams, not 12 milligrams. I'm paying 30 or 40 cents from India for 12 milligrams. The drugstores are charging close to $5 just for 3 milligrams of ivermectin. And there's a shortage because everyone is using ivermectin, as any intelligence. You read my book. All the data is in my book. My book, Pandemic Blunder, is filled with data showing we've had this data from early 2020 showing how these generic drugs actually work successfully. The data I've been working on health issues for 50 plus years. I have never seen anything like this, where medicines that we know work are being blocked officially by the government, our government, the U.S. government. India was smart. Indonesia smart. Even in Japan, they just let loose ivermectin. Okay? Other countries around the world use it a lot. So we have all this data that shows that everything Fauci did, his strategy for the pandemic, unfortunately, this is the one big mistake that Trump made. He put Fauci in charge, gave him too much power. And what was Fauci's strategy? This is the way I describe it. Wait for the vaccine strategy. He was willing to let hundreds of thousands of people die, okay, from COVID, because he wanted to wait for the big drug companies to get to market to make billions and trillions of dollars in profits from selling vaccines. And now Merck and Pfizer about to come out, get approval for pills. I can tell you with authority that the pills coming from Merck and Pfizer are based on cheap ivermectin, okay? They just had to fool around. Yeah.
Joel, you got it exactly right. We got a break coming up, and we'll continue our conversation on the other side. Every single thing you've said, I'm in complete 100% agreement, spot on. Delighted to have you here. We'll be right back after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Joel Hirshhorn, my featured guest today, has been doing a brilliant job of reviewing the situation with regard to COVID, the pandemic, and the vaccines, which Sherry Tenpenny has described as perfectly designed killing machines. He has a book which sounds very, very impressive. I want to share with him a new report he may or may not have encountered already, Major Development. Rabbinical court decrees mRNA jab absolutely forbidden for children, adolescents, young men and women. Listen to this. On November 1st, the rabbinical court officially decreed that the mRNA COVID shot is absolutely forbidden for children, adolescents, young men and women. The rabbinical court is part of the Israeli legal system and determines laws that reflect the teachings of the Torah. A ruling by the rabbinical court is considered God's laws and is strictly followed by the Jewish community. The importance of this decision cannot be understated on its ultimate effect on Jewish children and young adults throughout the world. After hours of testimony on October 26th by medical experts, lawyers, and scientists, the rabbinical court made their decree, which sent shockwaves throughout the world. The decision stated, "It is absolutely forbidden to administer or even to promote this injection to children, adolescents, young men or women, even if it means that they will not be permitted by the government to attend yeshiva or seminary or to study abroad, etc. It's an explicit obligation to protest against this mandate, and anyone who can prevent the injection from being forced upon our youth must do so forthrightly and emphatically." Further, the court forbids pregnant women and all healthy adults who are childbearing age. Much harm appears to be caused to pregnant women as a result of the injection, possibly due to the antibodies that the body develops against the protein called syncytin 1, or from the SM-102, or from the micro blood clots caused by the injection. The common denominator here is it's harmful for a pregnant woman, and that it may be considered a violation of the prohibition of sterilization or preventing fertility. As such, it is forbidden for them to take this injection. Included in this are all healthy adults who are of childbearing age. They, too, should stay away from the said injection. The decision also addressed older adults, and that further clarification needs to be made, but specifically determined it is best to err on the side of caution. Another quote. "Therefore, it is best to err on the side of caution and abstain from taking the injection rather than endangering one's life by performing an action that can engender immediate and direct harm, especially since there are other medical treatments that worked, as mentioned, and that are not harmful." And of course, they're alluding to HCQ ivermectin, for example, yep, which Joel's emphasized, which yep, I've taken myself. The other part of the decision is in regard to promoting or influencing anyone from straying from this decree. Specifically, it states, assisting or enabling a person to violate a transgression includes verbal encouragement, offering monetary incentives or other bribes, verbal pressure or actual threats to coerce employees, etc., to receive the mRNA. Dr. Robert Malone, widely credited for inventing the mRNA vaccines at the Salk Institute in 1988, posted the following statement after the decision was publicized. Apparently, the testimony of the Hasidic Rabbinical Court in New York City was useful and a decision has been rendered. SARS-CoV-2 vaccination is absolutely forbidden in children and cautioned for adults. Dr. Anthony Thomas Renz, the lead attorney for Americans Frontline Doctors, who's suing the CDC, President Biden, Anthony Fauci, to whom I refer as Tony the Rat, and others, made this statement. On Tuesday of last week, I was given the unique honor to testify at a rabbinical court in New York City with a number of the top experts in the world regarding COVID jabs. It was my pleasure to provide input to God's chosen people on such an important issue, and I hope it will save lives. Joel, your thoughts?
Absolutely. I was aware of this, and I totally agree with what the Rabbinical Court has done. I think it deserves more and more attention. They got it right. The attorney that you mentioned, I'm familiar with him. He has some wonderful things out. You can go to his website. He has a whole collection of affidavits from medical doctors in the United States describing the horrific situations they themselves faced when they got COVID infection or their patients have faced. Everywhere you look, if you are objective truth teller, you will see the truth here and talk about the truth. In Israel, I'm sad to say, they went crazy on the vaccination. You know, they're giving now much of their population a third shot, a booster shot. I can tell you that about a million Israeli citizens are refusing to get the booster shot, which means they will not get, I think they call it their green card. They will lose access to all kinds of public facilities. But in a population of just around 9 million, a million people already are saying no. They're not going to take the third booster shots. This thing is such a scam, Jim. They want to give booster shots, you know, once or twice a year forever if they can get away with it. I don't think they're going to get away with it. I think the truth is coming out. It's not easy. The mainstream media, there is a conspiracy. It's a collusion between the mainstream media, the federal agencies, and Fauci, and the drug companies. That's the whole conspiracy that's out there, really. They're all working together to suppress the facts, the true facts about the pandemic, the facts that are in my book, Pandemic Blunder, which I guarantee anyone who reads my book, they will learn so much. It's on Amazon, cheap, very cheap book to get. And there's just so much truth to get out there. That's why I'm publishing two or three articles a month. And they're widely published on lots and lots of websites. So we know the solution. Here's the terrible thing. We know the right things to do. But if you listen to Fauci and the official, you know, government federal agencies and public health, the whole public health establishment, local, state, federal, is a disaster. It's totally corrupt. Totally corrupt. The health, I mean, to think about it, public health. They're doing all the things wrong in terms of protecting public health. And in my new strategy, which I have out, just published over the last few days, based on personalized medicine, my strategy for the government, and by the way, I was on the phone with Senator Ron Johnson the other day. I'm hoping that he might he and others might introduce legislation based on my work. It's a two-part strategy. And the first part says, well, if you want to follow what the government says, if you want to get vaccinated, fine. You have the choice. But the second part of my strategy is that all Americans have the choice to listen to their own doctors and do what's right for their own bodies. And if they want to choose options, alternatives to what the government's saying, like the generic medicines like ivermectin, That's a choice they have a right to. They really have a, it's called what we call medical freedom. What Fauci did was to kill medical freedom, the freedom of doctors to give their patients what's right for their patients, and the freedom of patients to do what's right for their own bodies. You know, one of the phrases I use in my newest article is make the medicine fit the person. That's what personalized medicine is all about. By the way, we use it for the seasonal flu. We don't mandate that everyone takes the seasonal flu. Actually, only 40 or 50% of the people take the flu vaccine, which is fine. That's their choice, okay? The benefits of the flu vaccine, well, they're limited. You don't necessarily prevent, you know, getting the flu if you get the shot. But I get the shot. I don't mind getting the flu vaccine shot. That's my choice. The point I'm making for this COVID pandemic, we need a government strategy, and Congress needs to act on this because they've got to pass a law that directs CDC and NIH and FDA to give Americans free medical choice, medical freedom, and to choose in consultation with their doctors what they think is right for their own bodies. And if ivermectin is what the doctor thinks is right, take it. I take it every week now. And so choice is what the issue is, medical freedom. And instead of medical freedom, what Fauci did was create a system of medical tyranny, true tyranny. It's the whole public health establishment, all the federal state agencies working in collusion with each other to promote and implement medical tyranny, taking away the choice of Americans. There is nothing more irrational and counter to medical science. Again, I've been working on medical issues for 50 plus years. I'm in four medical organizations now. I can tell you that nobody should be mandated, you know, especially if they're young. To mandate children to take the vaccine is idiocy. To mandate people in the armed forces to take the vaccine is idiocy. It is absolute tyranny to force most healthy young Americans, again, below about the age of 70, to mandate that they take the vaccine, to force them to take the vaccine. It's incredible. And I want to tell you, nobody who gets a vaccine shot is giving true informed consent, because the government, who's ever giving you that shot, is not revealing the tons of medical data that we have on all of what they call adverse effects and deaths from the vaccines. The data is unequivocal. And by the way, the official CDC data has been shown again and again to be off by a factor of 10 to 100. So whenever you see data from CDC, it's too low, way too low, especially when it comes to adverse effects, negative effects, and deaths. So when I say at least 150,000 Americans, 150,000 Americans at least have died just from taking the vaccine, isn't that a tragedy? Comparable to talking about 9/11, where 3,000 people died?
Joe, I think you make wonderful, wonderful points. It seems to me this is all part of the Great Reset. I believe the Rothschild banking empire is behind this effort to take control of the entirety of planet Earth, that the Israeli-controlled media, which they also dominate by virtue of owning AP and Reuters, are pushing all of this propaganda in order to promote digital currencies, endless vaccinations, the idea of surrendering your property and assets for the sake of some kind of allotment, guaranteed income. I mean, it's all monstrous. I could not agree with you more. Now, Anthony Fauci, in my judgment, is going to go down as the greatest mass murder in all of history. Your thoughts?
Yes, absolutely. And I wrote articles about this many months ago where I say he should have been criminally prosecuted. Months and months ago, I made the case for criminally prosecuting Fauci for criminally negligent homicide. He actually really has killed hundreds of thousands of people. When you think that the rest of the world follows what we do, what CDC and NIH do in the U.S., About 5 million people have died worldwide, they say, related to COVID. This is an amazing situation. So many millions of people dying unnecessarily. If Fauci had not blocked, and he did this in early 2020, mind you, Jim, he blocked the wide use of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Well, the European Union and a lot of the rest of the world follow what we do. So they were following what Fauci and CDC and NIH and FDA have done, and they have followed the wrong person. Fauci is evil. He is a mass murderer. I hold him in total contempt. I don't know how he is still alive and still. By the way, I pointed this out in my book. He's the highest paid federal employee. He makes more money than the president of the United States. He's a rich guy. And organizations who love Fauci for the wrong reasons, they keep giving him money. He gets these so-called prizes. I know of at least two prizes. One, he got $1 million, and the other one, he got $500,000. So he's raking in the money, and he's making a great, he's rich as hell. He has too much power. He's the most powerful bureaucrat I have ever seen. I've been working in Washington, D.C. area for many decades. I was a senior official at the U.S. Congress, okay? I worked at the Office of Technology Assessment. I helped write legislation. I testified at over 50 Senate and House hearings because I was seen as a very trusted, objective, technical person. I have a lot of experience in the political world. I have seen the government do terrible things firsthand when I worked for Congress. And then I was a senior official at the National Governors Association. I've had a lot of experience in government and public policy. I have never seen anything as wrong, as evil, as what Fauci has done with this pandemic. You know, it's absolutely mind-boggling to me that he has gotten away with it and that all these federal agencies are still getting away with doing terrible things. I was just looking at how they changed the definition of vaccine. Imagine on September 1st this year, CDC changed the definition of what a vaccine is. Let me just read two phrases that they took out of the definition, took out. The phrase is, quote, protecting the person from that disease. They took that out. Here's the other phrase they took out, to produce immunity. They took that out of the definition of vaccine. So what they were left with is a bunch of words that mean next to nothing in how the new definition of vaccine is put out officially. So the CDC is so corrupt, so wrong-headed. Everything they've done is wrong. And by the way, they're still pushing bad medicines. Not only do they block the good generic medicines, they're doing stupid things like remdesivir. You probably have heard about remdesivir. Fauci pushed that through and got it FDA approved early in the pandemic. Remdesivir cost many, many thousands of dollars, only used in hospitals, okay? The death rate, I can tell you, I'm totally correct on this. People who get remdesivir have a death rate of over 25%. It is a deadly medicine, and it is a terribly expensive medicine, very expensive, and it doesn't do any good. It really doesn't save lives. He pushed it, Fauci pushed the FDA approval through, even though the drug company's own data showed it did not save lives. It did not extend lives. So Fauci has done so many evil things. And by the way, I haven't said this before on the show, but masking doesn't work. It's in my book. I have the first Danish study detailed in my book. The proof was in early 2020. We knew masking would not work to stop the spread of the virus. We knew that lockdowns do not work. There's been countless great studies on this. Not only do the lockdowns and shutdowns don't work, they end up killing people. Again, collateral deaths. Every time we've locked down the society, when we made people stay at home and not go out and get healthy exercise, all of the stupid things that Fauci has promoted actually has caused collateral deaths. And again, approaching at least a million just in the United States alone. If you go around the world, I can't even count how many millions of people have died because of the stupid things that have been done, the lockdowns, the masking, the stay-at-home mandates, the quarantines. None of these things have worked. The one thing I say now, for sure, we cannot vaccinate our way out of this pandemic. Okay, whether it's a true pandemic or not, we can argue how deadly the virus is. We can argue it's, but all the actions we're taking, particularly now the vaccinations, and now they're going to try to set, Merck is going to, has already sold their new pill. They want us to take pills. The government is paying Merck, I think it is $700,000 a treatment with their new pill. And Pfizer's coming out with a new pill. Again, why would you buy these expensive new prescription pills when you should be taking, if you're smart and you look at the data, it's in my book, take ivermectin, get it from India. There's plenty of reliable places you can access through the web to order. I've ordered ivermectin from three different companies in India. They all come well packaged, perfectly safe, just like prescription medicines are. I mean, so it's crazy. I get a lot of requests. I always try to help people who ask for my help. I give them the names of companies where they can get their ivermectin. And now I'm publishing, by the way, on Substack. So not just a lot of regular websites, but I have a Substack, which is called, again, Pandemic Blunder Newsletter. And people can access free. They don't have to pay anything to access all my articles.
Joe, you've been doing a great job. I'm very, very impressed, 100%. I want to open the lines to callers, the number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452, to call in and speak with Joel and me. Joel, some more thoughts before we go to the break.
Just that we have to keep people informed. You know, if people are getting most of their information from mainstream media, from main, you know, TV networks and CNN and MSNBC and all those terrible places, they're getting the wrong information. They're getting nothing but propaganda. All the good information, the technical medical information that I use, it's all being suppressed by mainstream media. I was canceled out. I tried to publish on one site, just like you got canceled out, your site. I was canceled out too, which is why I've gone to Substack and why I get published on a lot of conservative and medical sites. I am being published. I belong to four medical organizations, and I'm being published on some great sites. Trial Site News is a good site. Brownstone is another good site. Lots of great websites out there, WND, that are all publishing my articles. So you can get good information. You got to work a little bit. If you get Pandemic Blunder, my book, I guarantee you will read it maybe in one night. It's so interesting. It's a good read. It's an easy read. And it's the only way to get educated. You got to sidestep mainstream media because it's corrupt. It's nothing but false propaganda.
Joel, you got it 100% correct. I repeat, for call-in numbers, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Joel, actually, you became my co-chair of Scholars for 9/11 Truth here quite a few years ago after Steve Jones and I had a parting of the ways, and I know how very busy you are on so many fronts. I just want to compliment you on the excellence of your contributions across the board.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
The book, again, is where is the best place to obtain your book?
Well, it's very low cost, actually. It's a sweet deal on Amazon. If you're into Kindle books, a lot of people buy Kindle books. My book, Pandemic Blunder, if you belong to the Kindle system, it's no cost at all. It's zero cost. If you don't belong to the Kindle system, it's only $5. If you want a print edition, Amazon heavily discounts from the list price. So Amazon is just easy. It's an easy place to get pandemic blunder. It's doing very well. And I guarantee you, I have nothing but positive feedback on it. I guarantee you, this is like pandemic 101. It's like the basic textbook to understand how Fauci screwed it up, how the government screwed it up. But also half the book is on how to take care of yourself. Jim, there's a simple protocol. You don't even need ivermectin if you don't want to try it. There's a simple protocol. It's in my book. It's 4 items. It's 2 vitamins and 2 supplements. It's vitamin C, high dose, vitamin D, high dose, zinc, and quercetin. Quercetin has been around a long time. It actually acts like hydroxychloroquine in your body. It gets the zinc into your cells, which is what you want. So lots of people have followed that protocol, the 2 vitamins and the 2 supplements. And also, if you're smart, you may want to add in ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. That's fine. The data supports the safe use. I want to emphasize this. Don't believe the propaganda about bad effects of taking hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. That is sheer propaganda.
Joel, you're 100% correct. I have taken them both. And when we return, we'll take your calls, caller, and we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers being vilified for doing the right thing. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Joel Hirshhorn has been doing a brilliant job of an overview about the coronavirus pandemic, totally fraudulent, but the vax is real and deadly. We have a couple of callers on the line. Let's begin with Saul in Colorado. Saul, join the conversation. Saul, are you there?
I was sorry, I was muted there. Try to keep quiet until you call me in. Joel, I got to ask you general question about vitamin C. They have liposomic vitamin C, which absorbs in your system a lot better, but it's like 50 times as much. And I can take 3,000 milligram vitamin C at any given time and not have any stomach problems. Do you see that there'd be much of a difference between the two? I know you're not a doctor, but I value your opinion because if you're on Jim's show, then yeah, you know your stuff, and you do.
Yeah, I can tell you what I do. I like Ester C. Ester C is you can get in any drugstore. It's a better form of vitamin C. I take twice a day. I take the vitamin C. So I take at least 1,000 milligrams a day of vitamin C, but just as important and maybe more important is vitamin D. And you can buy vitamin D all over the place. It's very cheap at Costco, for example. And vitamin D, that you want to take at a higher dose. I take 4,000 units twice a day. And that's a good, reasonable dose of vitamin D.
I had a problem with taking generic vitamin D3 because it's made from lanolin. Apparently I'm allergic to that, so I had to get a vegan vitamin D3 that's made from lichens. It's great. It costs 3 times more than the other, but it really works and it's very effective. Great stuff. 5,000 IU. So I take 2 of those a day. Value what you have to say, and Jim would probably tell you himself about the flu vaccine has mRNA in it this season, so you may want to think twice about doing that because we kind of need you to stick around.
Yep, go ahead.
That's what I got to say, and I'll step back here until you guys call me.
Very good, Saul. Joel, did you want to add further? Joel, did we lose you? Mitchell, do we have Joel? Let's bring in Paul. Paul, please join the conversation from California.
Okay, thanks. I listened to most of the first hour, and I liked a lot of things I heard, but there's a number of things I had issue with. I was hoping Joel would be here. I had a question or two for him, but I'll go ahead and state my case. The biggest problem that I have is that he seems to leave the underlying fraud that viruses cause disease completely intact. And he talked about COVID, catching COVID, transmitting COVID, and the vaccine doesn't prevent COVID, and so on. And all these things, to my mind, are part of the problem, the perception of people out there that such a thing as COVID actually exists. In my opinion, it's akin to leaving the underlying fraud that we landed on the moon alone, or the underlying fraud that planes were used to attack the Twin Towers. and so on. I could give many more examples. I also have an issue with this idea of immunity. About a year or so ago, I read an article on John Rappaport's site, No More Fake News, which, of course, is a great site, where he completely, to my mind, demolished the idea of herd immunity. And since then, I've given a lot more thought to this concept of natural immunity or immunity at all. And I think it's also nonsense. I don't think we're immune to all the things that don't make us sick to begin with. So, for example, you're not immune to low levels of oxygen. You're not immune to vitamin deficiencies. You're not immune to poison. You're not immune to many other things that make us ill, that genuinely make us ill and have been proven so. And I don't think the idea that there's viruses that are existing out there and that somehow we get sick in a season because the virus can get us. I don't believe there's a flu season. I don't think that living things have seasons. We exist through seasons, all mammals, all life on Earth. We experience seasons just like we experience night and day. But the idea that viruses are just hanging around and only occasionally make people sick and apparently make older people sick and they don't make children sick, I just think is all nonsense. It's been debunked quite thoroughly by many, many people online. And I just wanted to bring it to his attention and ask him if he's read the book or heard of the book, Virus Mania, or he's been to the website, whatreallymakesyouill.com, which is the title of a book, and so on.
Okay, Joel, do we have you there? Joel, can you respond to Paul? I don't know what happened, Paul. We seem to have lost Joel. I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kind of surprised.
How did you find him or come across him?
We're calling Joel back. Mitchell's in the process.
Jackie and Joel are not answering, so please leave the critical information we need.
And it turns out that even Mitchell was being cut off. I think it's not surprising when we deal with these controversial issues that we get all kinds of interference because there's very little freedom of speech or freedom of the press left in the United States today. Paul, would you like to comment on any of the other issues about the Virginia election?
I got cut off, Jim, for a while. So just give me just briefly tell me what I should address.
Yeah. Paul, give a brief recap. Joel is back. Just a brief recap.
Did you hear anything that I said, Joel, at all?
No, I don't think so.
Paul, go ahead. Give a brief recap.
I can't. It was such a rant that just kind of floats.
Well, Paul, we don't need the rant. We need the bottom line. Just go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so again, my issue with many of the things that you said, I agree with a lot of it, but I don't agree with quite a bit, including the notion that viruses cause disease. I think this is the underlying fraud and it's the problem. And I was going to start out by asking you over the phone, can you tell right now if I have COVID? And of course, it was sort of a tongue-in-cheek question, but the bottom line is if I was in your office, you couldn't tell if I have COVID because nobody has said that COVID really exists, including the CDC. They admitted they had not isolated it. And so if you tell me COVID is SARS-CoV-2 virus or some, permutation of, I would say, okay, fine, show me.
Paul, I'm 100% sure that Joel agrees with me, and you've heard me say it many times, that the virus has never been isolated, which means that you can't possibly have a vaccine for it. And Joel was reviewing how they changed the definition of a vaccine to turn it from a medical treatment for a problem into something completely different by taking out providing immunity or benefits and dealing with the disease. I mean, Joel is spot on, and it shows a total corruption of the CDC. Joel, go ahead.
Yes. Well, that's the point. Now, obviously, they can do genetic testing on samples from a human being. It may not be complete isolation of the virus, but they can do genetic testing to see what kind of variant it is. Do some people actually have a viral disease? I would say yes, but according to CDC, remember this, they have said only 6% of COVID deaths.
20 seconds remaining to record your message.
Wow, am I cut off again?
No, you're still there. That's
so they only have 6% only due to COVID infection, 6%. All the rest, they do measure the presence of COVID, but it's not the sole cause of death.
To send your message virus, now, press pound. To mark the message private, symptom. Press 1.
It's
to mark the message
cause.
Urgent,
never,
press
4.
To hear your message, press 5. To request a return call, press 6. To re-record, press star.
That's when Mitch called you for some reason, I suppose. So if
send your message now, press pound. To mark the message private, press 1. To mark
I'm
the message urgent.
My position would be the same as Dr. Thomas Cowan, okay, Stefan Lanka, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, Dr. Robert Young, and quite a few others, okay? But these are the ones that you can hear over and over putting forth the basic common sense premise that no experiment, okay, has ever shown causality with viruses. And the fact of the matter is many people have written letters and received responses from the CDC, from the National Institute of Health, and from laboratories saying that they didn't have any samples to give. They asked them, can we have a sample? Can you provide us documents that show the isolation? And they've received documents back saying they can't, they don't have it. So what does that tell you? The whole thing is a fraud. There's no 6%. It's zero. Nobody gets COVID. It's a description of symptoms. What's causing these symptoms? Well, that's a good question. Did you know that in the literature, low vitamin levels can mimic these symptoms, that electromagnetic radiation can cause these symptoms? Many different.
Paul, I think I don't think you're going to get an argument from Joel about this. Joel, I mean, okay. Am I not right? I mean, Paul goes on rants, let me just say, and sometimes they're justified and sometimes they aren't. And he's been given the toss by me on more than one occasion, but I value his comments and his intelligence. So just field that as however you like, Joel.
Well, I'm just going to say I work with a lot of physicians around the country. Again, I'm a member of 4 medical groups. And I can tell you, although we have strong feelings, as I've expressed on the show, we do think that there is such a thing as COVID infection, okay? It can kill people, and we know how it kills people. Once virus gets in your body and you go through stage 1 and you don't deal with stage 1, you go to stage 3 and 4. And what the virus does, through the spike protein principally, it does attack your organs. We know this. We have autopsies that have been done on people.
What? Paul, I'll tell you, I don't know exactly what I went through, but I was certainly hit with something hard. And I'm a profound skeptic about the COVID pandemic, that no increase in mortality, no increase in deaths, insurance companies not increasing their premiums. We have a zillion good reasons to believe the pandemic itself is a fraud, that the vaccines, however, are real and that they are deadly, that they ought to be regarded as a lethal weapon. But I was hit with something. I was actually briefly hospitalized twice, once for 7 hours, one for 8. I wound up taking this antibody intravenous treatment, which I believe was beneficial, and also, of course, ivermectin. And I highly recommend ivermectin. And I imagine, Paul, I'm going to guess off the top of my head, you've probably already taken ivermectin yourself. Am I right?
No, I haven't taken anything. I don't understand why people are so eager to go out and take ivermectin to be honest with you, I'm not sure they know how it works. I went online to read for example.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do know. We do know how it works.
No, look, it's antiviral, we know that. But when I went online to read mechanism of action, I couldn't make sense of a lot of it. Where I could make sense of many other things, such as hydrochloroquine. So here's the problem that I have. Viruses, if you believe what it is they tell us, okay, which they're inert, right? They don't have reproduction, sexual or asexual. They don't consume or excrete anything. They're not living in the conventional sense. Then how is it that these things, vitamin treatments, or ivermectin or hydrochloroquine, how can you kill something that's not living? Viruses are nothing more than fragments or particles of cell debris, cell breakdown. That's all they've ever been shown to be. And in my opinion, I don't claim to have all the answers, and I'm not asking you
all the
answers. Well, I want to give you some answers. First off, when the virus gets into your body, again, stage 1 replication, what happens? the virus, you may not call it alive, but it knows how to replicate. And once some virus gets into your body, you go into astronomical numbers of the virus, let's call them molecules, okay, the spike protein molecules. So we know how the drugs work. We know how ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine work. And probably the new Pfizer...
Ivermectin are separate. Tell me how ivermectin works.
No, it's the same process. They block the replication of the virus in the first stage. That's how they work.
Joan, never been experimentally proven.
Well, I can tell you that they've been... I can tell you they've been clinically proven. If you don't want to follow the medical evidence, that's your choice. But I can tell you I work with physicians who use this, and they have cured thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who got seriously infected, but they cured them within 3 or 4 or 5 days, typically, by stopping the replication of the virus.
I would suggest, it's just a suggestion, you look into the work of Robert Young, okay, which in my opinion is congruent with all these others, who's proven, in my opinion, as best as can be proven, there really is no such thing as infection the way that we think about it, okay? Just like, for example, there's no such thing.
Well, I've never cited Robert Young. He's not one of the people that I would trust. There are countless people you can trust. And there's a vast literature. Read my book, Pandemic Blunder. Read my book, Pandemic Blunder. There's a vast medical literature. I don't know how educated you are and whether you can read medical research articles. I can read. I do read many medical research articles every day. So I'm following the medical literature. And I'm talking to medical practitioners. I'm talking to the frontline doctors. I'm a member of America's frontline doctors. So I know what's really going on medically. And if you can't read the medical literature, don't get sidetracked by a few big names that I think toss out ridiculous things. The pandemic is mostly phony, okay? The solutions to the pandemic are ridiculous, criminal. But is the virus real? Yes, there is a real virus. It was produced in China by the Chinese. Whether it was intentional or released by accident, I'm not sure. But it can be a deadly virus. Some people do die. I know of people who have died from COVID infection because they didn't get the proper treatment, okay?
Joel, listen, I've excused Paul. It's fine. We had a good conversation there. I want to turn to the abusive treatment of Aaron Rodgers, who, in my opinion, has been doing everything right. He explained he'd taken the antibody treatment. He'd taken ivermectin. I believe he's also taken HCQ. I myself have done all of the above. He's being savaged by the NFL for violating its vaccination policies, which are going to be extremely harmful. The idea of vaccinating our military, as you previously observed, is simply absurd.
Yes.
Given the national security consequences that are going to follow from incapacitating 50% of our military forces. And, of course, there are a whole lot of medical experts, nurses, and so forth, who are unwilling to take the jab on very, very good grounds. Now,
absolutely.
Terry Bradshaw, who's way over the hill and whom I regard as a nitwit anyway, has been very negative about Aaron Rodgers. He said, I'll give Aaron Rodgers some advice. It would have been nice if he'd just come to the Naval Academy and learned how to be honest. He said as the cameras cut to a group of cheering students at the Naval Academy, where he was, a commentator on the football game there, giving viewers the impression they were cheering from Bradshaw. Their cheers, however, had nothing to do with his comments. He then crossed the line, learned not to lie, because that's what you did, Aaron. You lied to everyone. He said, I understand immunize. What you were doing was taking stuff that could keep you from getting COVID-19. You got COVID-19. Well, the test, of course, a PCR is so highly unreliable that it has like 97% false positives, Joel. And I think that what Aaron did was perfectly appropriate. He, meanwhile, himself has said, the right is going to champion me and the left is going to cancel me. I don't give a shit about either of them. Politics is a total sham. I'm not going on Fox News, just like I'm not going to go on CNN. Now, I have a high regard for Aaron, and I think his stance here has only increased my admiration. Your thoughts?
Yes. Well, I believe in medical freedom. I believe that people should be well informed. You mentioned the PCR test. The way it's run, if it goes beyond 25 cycles, I just want to give you a piece of scientific fact. If the PCR test is run higher than 25 cycles, the data is useless, unreliable. So I never cite case data because all the case data is meaningless, okay? I tend to focus on death data. That's what's most important to me. Now, yes, I just read today out of Europe, there's a website that has published an extremely long list of athletes who have come down with serious negative impacts from being vaccinated. I couldn't even get through the whole list of athletes. So it's the same thing with military people. Young, healthy people should not be taking the vaccine. They don't need the vaccine. They have no significant risk from COVID infection. I believe infection is real. I believe the COVID-19 virus is real. But I also know as a medical fact that people under the age of 70, unless they have serious underlying illness, if they're young and healthy, they will not suffer any bad consequences of being infected. And in fact, what they get is natural immunity, which is a real positive, okay? So I don't know why the hell athletes or military people, or I can tell you, again, I work within these systems. I work in a hospital, a major hospital, and I can tell you, I know there are smart physicians and great nurses who don't want to take the vaccine, and I know why they don't want to take it, because they see the same data that I see. They see the same effects on people that I know exist, and that's why they don't want to take the vaccine shots, okay? So there's wonderful data out there. Not everyone is spending the time to look at the great data, the great information, the good articles. There are some quack packs out there. There are some people that I don't quite believe. I think they're saying outrageous things, like the virus doesn't really exist. No, there is a virus, just like there is a flu virus, okay? We know that there is a COVID-19 virus. I don't have any doubts about that. But I know it's not lethal. I wrote a whole article about what's called infection fatality rate. Infection fatality rate. I looked at all of the numbers, and it's an amazing situation. This is how Fauci lied. Let me give you a fact. He lied at a congressional hearing on March 11th, 2021, and he lied to Congress, and how he lied was very interesting. He said to Congress that this COVID-19 virus was going to be much more lethal. In fact, he said 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu. He was lying. The numbers he was using were false. They were lies. But he scared Congress. He scared the public. That is the moment that our pandemic response was initiated, when Fauci lied about the fatality rate of COVID-19. It turns out, for, again, the vast majority of people, nearly everyone below the age of 70, the fatality infection rate of COVID-19 is no more serious than the seasonal flu. That's the bottom line medical fact, okay? Now, you're not going to die. Most people, you got sick from it. I never got sick from it. But I know lots of people who got sick from it. I know lots of people. I can tell you I know lots of physicians who take ivermectin all the time, okay? I can tell you physicians who got COVID-19, and how did they treat themselves? They took ivermectin, sometimes also hydroxychloroquine. There's an article out, which I believe, saying over 100 members of Congress, have been taking ivermectin, okay? I believe this. That's why there's a shortage of ivermectin. That's, you know, it's crazy. Joe, and the new Joe, pills.
I couldn't agree more that we even have reports that the Afghan migrants are bringing in or being given ivermectin on the plane. I mean, it's just disgusting that the Congress would exempt itself, the Biden administration, give ivermectin to itself and deprive the American people. I mean, this is sinister. This is malevolent. This is evil. This is a form of evil that has taken over the American government.
Totally agree with you, Jim. This is pure evil. I've been using that word for the last year. Fauci is evil. What the government is doing is evil. And it is killing people. Again, I want to emphasize this. It's killing people because the vaccine is killing people. And I want to go back to breakthrough infections. Fully vaccinated people, and while you're a caller, I think Paul was all wrong. Fully vaccinated people, I have the data, okay? The site was taken down, but I have the data. Fully vaccinated people, 64.
I just want to thank you so much for a sensational appearance here on the show. I also want to thank Saul and Paul for calling in. We invite, you know, argument and dispute, so it was great to have it. But I think you've done a marvelous job. Remind us one last time of the title of your book and where to get it.
Pandemic Blunder. It's very available everywhere you buy books, but it's easily very cheap and available on Amazon. And Jim, I want to send you an email later, a private email. I want to invite you to something.
Thank you, so wonderful, wonderful. Thank you all for being here. Back on Wednesday with the event.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect,
Triangle.
Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in...